Bruchem Aboyim to the fourth in the continuing series of Shiurim on the Hakdama of the Ramban to his Perush on Bereshis and to the entire Chumash. That is the introduction of the Ramban to his commentary on Bereshis and, in fact, on the entire Chumash. In the last Shiur, we spoke about the significance of the Ramban's assertion and its consequences of the Torah being, in fact, names of God, names of Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what the Ramban spoke about, just Yadinu Kabbalah Shel Emes. And I elaborated on the fact that, in fact, going from the names of Kodesh Baruch Hu to the Torah, which is intelligible to us through sentences, nouns, verbs, grammar, etc., etc., going from one to the other, actually for the Ramban, constituted the Misera of that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Today we're going to speak about a different aspect of the Ramban's understanding of the Chumash. And we're going to go back to actually a point that the Ramban makes at the very, very beginning of his Hakdama to Bereishis. There the Ramban says that that Kamoshe Bala B'Kabbalah, Ramban says in the Shevel edition in Dav Beis that the Ramban wants to speak about the fact that the stories of the Torah, in fact, are written in a third person, and do not actually refer to Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't say Vidaber Hashem al Moshe Leimor Bereishis Bala B'Kim, etc. So the Ramban says that the Torah was come on the Brias HaOlam among Dav Beis in the Shevel's edition, four lines from the bottom. Ain't Torah Lomil Dezo Shemesh Rabbeinu Kamoshe Bolo Bekabolo Shaisa Ksuva Beish Choy Al Gap Eish Levana. Here the Ramban, in fact, is quoting a Yerushalmi, quoting Yerushalmi in Shkola in Paravah, Lacha Aleph, but actually the Yerushalmi says first the Torah was written with Eish Levana Al Eish Choyra, and then after that was written or given with Eish Shchayra al Eish Lavana. Now, the Ramban mentions that if this is true, so he says that Moshe Kaseifa, Moshe is like a Seifa, Moshe is like a scribe, Hamatik Biseifa Kadmoin, who's actually inscribing from an earlier text, an Ur text, the Kaisef, and he's writing, Lachen Kosavtam. And the question is, what does the Ramban come to tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu is Kaseif HaMatik B'Seif HaKadmah? The Ramban is just saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was writing from another Sefer and copying exactly what he has from the other Sefer. So in fact, really, what is the Hataka of Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't really signifying? It's not really signifying anything. So in other words, what I'd like to discuss tonight, today, is in fact what the Ramban understands to be the structure of the narrative parts of the Chumash, which in fact, according to Ramban, are a consequence of the Moshe Rabbeinu acting as a Sefer HaMatik B'Sefer Kadmoi, as a scribe who is writing a text based upon an earlier text, and the consequence that this has for the narrative parts of the Chumash in contradistinction, as Ramban certainly would say, to those parts of the Chumash, which one would associate to be more of the halachic, more of halachic stature, where it says repeatedly over and over again, "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimor, Vayem Hashem Moshe Leimor." And what is the difference between those different styles that we see in the Chumash itself? Now, the fact is that the Ramban, in several places of the Chumash, in fact, takes issue on not only commentators before him, but in fact actually takes issue in several places actually with Chazal. I'm not sure if these Rambans are actually commonly known and certainly are not commonly taught, but for example, probably to my mind, the most famous example of this is what the Ramban writes in Parshas Bo'i in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Bet. There it says in the Torah, and I will in fact actually get a chumash in 1 second. Excuse me. It says in the Torah in Parshas Bo, this is in Shemot, Perek Yudbeis, Pasuk Mem. So there, the Chumash tells us, right, Moshe b'nei Yisrael, and the settling of the Jewish people, Asher Yashu Mitzrayim, which they settled in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, in other words, the time that the Jewish people lived in Mitzrayim, Shloshim Shana, with 30 years, Vavomi Shana, and 400 years. And then it says, and after that, in Pasuk Mem Aleph, Vayim Yikeit Shloshim Shana, Vavomi Meir Shana, and it was at the end of 30 years and 400 years. On that very day, Yatzu Kol Tzivos Hashem El Mitzrayim, right? The Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. Now, we all know the famous Rashi. Rashi in Pasuk Mem. So Rashi informs us that in fact the 400 years are from the time of the birth of Yitzchak Avinu, right? The Rashi in fact shows us very clearly that in fact we cannot understand that the Jewish people were actually in Mitzrayim for 400 years. Because if that's true, then the ages of the Ovis HaKadosh just basically doesn't work out at all. So Rashi says the 400 years is actually being calculated from the time that from the birth of Yitzchak Avinu, and then 30 years before the birth of Yitzchak Avinu, you have the Bris Ben Absalom. Right now, why the Bris Ben Absalom? Because it's at the Bris Ben Absalom that in fact HaKadosh Baruch Hu informs Avraham Avinu that. That they will be in Mitzrayim for 400 years, and then Bereishis and Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayemel Avram, Kosh Bosa to Avram, Yodaya Teya Kigei Yezacha Beotoy Lahem, they will be in a land that's not theirs, Vavodah Vinuysam, and they will oppress them and make them work, Abam Yeshara, 400 years. So, and then after this it says, the fourth generation come back to Israel. So in other words, Rashi learns that in fact the 400 years, because according to the Cheshbon, according to the calculation one makes, it's 400 years from the time of the birth of Yitzchak, and 30 years before that is the Bris Ben Absalom. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, the 400 years they will be in. For 400 years they will be in Mitzrayim, he's speaking about from the time of the birth of Yitzchak Avinu. That's what Rashi says in Bereishis itself, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Mishonei lo Yitzchak ad sheyotzu Yisrael Mitzrayim arba shana. Now, so the understanding of Rashi is clear, the way he understands the Chumash, is that the 30 years of Bris Ben Absalom, the Bris Ben Absalom is 30 years before the birth of Yitzchak. Now, if you think about it, that's going to be very, very strange. Why is that very strange? Because we know, the Torah tells us, that Avraham Avinu, in Lech Lecha, the Torah tells us, Avraham Avinu came to El Yisrael, who was 75 years old. That's what it says, Perek Yudbeis, Pasuk Dalel, and Bereishis, V'yelech Avraham kasher divrei alav Hashem, v'yelech ito loit, V'avraham ben chamesh shanim v'shivim shon tzitzit b'chol. So Avraham Avinu is chol, he's 75 years. Now, we all know that Avraham Avinu has Yitzchak at 100 years old, which means that in fact, if we make the calculation according to what Rashi is telling us, the Bris Ben Absalom took place 5 years before the Torah tells us Avraham Avinu goes from Choran to El Yisrael. So in fact, Shitas Rashi, the opinion of Rashi, which actually, as we'll see, is clearly the unanimous opinion of Chazal, that the Bris Ben Absalom was actually 5 years before Avraham Avinu comes to El Yisrael. Despite the fact that if a person reads Parshas Lech Lecha, first he's told that Avraham Avinu comes to El Yisrael, and then there's the Milchama of the four and the five Melachim, the four and the five kings, and then after that is the Bris Ben Absalom. So if a person reads Parshas Lech Lecha, I mean, it's all too obvious that in fact the Bris Ben Absalom took place after Avraham Avinu comes to El Yisrael after he's 75 years old. But in fact, according to the calculation, right, of Rashi and Chazal, that in fact actually the Bris Ben Absalom is 5 years before that. Meaning the following thing is that Avraham Avinu, according to Chazal, comes twice to El Yisrael. In other words, he first comes to El Yisrael, I'm not sure when, And then is the bliss banab sarim. And then immediately after that he goes back to Haran. And then he spends 5 years in Haran and goes back to El Yisrael a second time at the age of 75. And that is what the Torah is telling me at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. Now, this, as I said before, is in fact the unanimous opinion of Chazal. It's actually in several places. The most obvious place where it's stated is in fact actually in the Seder Olam Rabba, as we all know, is a Braisa of Rab Yosi, as the Gemara indicates in several places, including them in the Kabbalah of the Zot of Tesavar Aleph. And in fact, after the Ramban, I'm reading after the Ramban in Pasuk Mem and Parakut Beis and Voi, Daf Shin Labed Zayin, the Ramban on the Dibur Maskil, Moshe Bnei Yisrael, Shu Yoshu Mitzrayim, Shloshim Tov Bom Yeshana, after the Ramban quotes Rashi, so the Ramban says, Mahu Das Rabbi Seinu, this is the opinion of Chazal. But Ramban goes on and explains, En Lashinu Masukim, Mefeushu Kol Tzolchim, Ramban goes on to elaborate, right? And Ramban says, Shulay Kosov, it says, Avon Melchamesh Shanim Vishiv Mishon B'tzitz Mechol. Ramban Avinu, is 75 years, the Torah tells us, when he leaves Chol to come to El Yisrael. Umala ben Basar Mayachach, Yom Rabin, now for the Chumash it appears, that Bidah Basarim takes place afterwards. However, Avon Nistar, the Torah, Tzayim Kvo Shonu B'Seder Oilam, but as it says in the Oilam, you can't say that. That Avraham Avinu was at the time when the Bris Hashanah was revealed to him, when the Bris Hashanah was made with him, was 7 years old. Shenanu Yikei Shloshim Shuvah Mishor Yatzu Kol Yudus Bris Hashanah. It says the Torah says 430 years, so it must be, ipso facto, that the Bris Hashanah was when Avraham Avinu was 7 years old. In which case, you have to say that after the Bris Hashanah, when Avraham Avinu was 7 years old, Chazal Chalat, since the Rambam went back to Chalat, Va'asa Shem Chamesh Shanim. And Avraham Avinu was there another 5 years. Shinu Avraham ben Chamesh Shalom Shemusholas in Mitzchom, and after 5 years he left to El Yisrael. That's what we have to say. Okay. So that is the shita not only of Rashi, but as I said before, the Ramban calls that the shita of Rabbi Seinu. Rabbi Seinu meaning Chazal. However, the Ramban offers another pshat, another reading of the Chumash. And I'm on Daf Shin Lamed Ches in the Shevel edition, the second line, V'dayti b'delach ha-pshat. So the Ramban says, B'delach ha-pshat, Ki Hashem omer li'Avraham, Yadu yatedek item, Titzit b'al tzoyis, Geli yezachah b'eros v'lahem yomim rabim, Abba mi'eshan. In other words, Kodesh Baruch Hu, let me just, before I go say here, I want to repeat that there's another problem with the pshat here of Rashi. According to Rashi, and Rabban mentions this actually in the Pasuk Ben Beis, Le'el Shibur Amur Hashem Otsim Yeref Mitzrayim, according to Rashi, it comes out that the Golas actually begins in 400 years. In other words, when Rashi learns, is that when it says Geir Zaracha, in this part of Psalm, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu informs Avraham and tells Avraham that Ger Yezaracha, right? Ger Yezaracha Be'ez V'lahem, that Vavodim Vinu Eksav, that this actually begins with 400 years of Yisrael Avinu, and says the Ramban, right? Right? And the Ramban says, Gamla Daiti, I'm reading now from Daf Shin Lamed Tes in the fifth line. Gamla Daiti, then Daf Pshat Alachon. Is that correct? Is the Ramban? Shekol Yimei Avraham Lo Yikoy Agolus Bizarre. Lo Yikoy Agolus Bizarre. How could you say that the date of Avraham is called Agolus? The goal begins with the Kedem Mitzrayim, which is 210 years. Rodu, which is the Maser of Chazal, that were Mitzrayim for 210 years. Now come to Ramban and offers a different pshat. Now, in fact, actually, these two claims are actually related to the same point, because the Ramban is making number one, the claim is that how can you say Bristol Pedap Sarim comes before Leidas Yitzchak, before Romino comes after it? I'm sorry. The Ramban's two claims are number one, how can we say that Bristol Pedap Sarim is in fact before Romino comes to El Tisle? In other words, Ramban finds it very, very dochic to say that the Chumash is in fact not in order. Even though Chazal do say in Pesachim, as we're going to see, the Ramban, in fact, is implying here that in fact the pshat of the chumash should be in fact in its order. He's going to make this claim. His claim has been several rambans on the chumash. So number one, according to Ramban, the Ramban says very doch and very difficult to understand based upon the cheshbon of Chazal, the reckoning of the years of the Chazal, that we have to say that the business of the Sodom took place before Avraham Avinu comes to El Yisrael, as we have told in Lech Lecha. And secondly, the Rashi understands literally is that the Yezar Acha, that in fact actually the 400 years of Golos actually begins with Eretz Yitzchak. The Ramban says, how can we consider before the Yitzchak 3 years of Golos? Anyway, in any case, comes the Ramban, and the Ramban says, no, that's not the Pshat. The Daitik Dech HaPshat, Yeshem Amal Yavrom Yadoya Kedek Yikterem Tisi Lecha Ha'oretz HaZoyz. Because Bob says to Avraham Avinu, you should know, you should surely know, that before I give you El Yisrael, in other words, before Klai Yisrael comes back to El Yisrael, the Jews are given El Yisrael, Ger Yisrachim El Yisrael Lahem, they're going to be a Ger in a land that's not theirs, Yomim Rabim, many years, Abim Yerushana. It'll be 400 years, which means that the Jewish, in other words, they're not going to be given to get El Yisrael for another 400 years. Ah, what about the 30 years? For Lechoshas, Lechia, Hashloishen, right? In other words, because both of them not informed by Avraham Avinu explicitly about the 30 years. Ki amaloi oid v'dor avi yeshuv ha'ena. In other words, because Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, right? This is in Parshas Lech Lecha in Perek Yud Gimel. So there, right? There it says, right there it says, the daughter of Yeshuv Ahena, Kiloi Shalim Oven Amori Ahena. The fourth generation will come back. Now, because Bochu, in this pasuk, says the Ramban, we have a remes to the 30 years. In other words, the Jewish people are not going to come down to Israel right after the end of the 400 years, which begins the birth of Yitzchak. Adadar Avi, until the fourth generation, she has Shalim Oven Amori, until the sin of the Amori is complete. And that's a remnant to the 30 years. Right? Okay, in other words, so according to Ramban, Bisa Badab Solim does not take place 30 years before the birth of Yitzchak. I mean, and Brit Adam Solim is not 30 years before the birth of Yitzchak, and Brit Adam Solim is not before Avraham Avinu comes out to Israel. It's after that. The 30 years come after the 400 years. In other words, according to Rashi, the 30 years, the time between Brit Adam Solim and this Yitzchak was 30 years, and then comes the 400 years, Klai Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim. According to Ramban, the timeline, the reckoning is that from the time of Lenitz Yitzchak, in other words, the Jewish people will come back to El Yisrael in 430 years. So the 30 years is going to be counted after the Libetz Chaim, which means they'll be in the Midbar for 40 years, and 30 of those 40 years is actually constitutes 30 of the 430 years. And that's, of course, Baruch Hu saying to him. He's saying to him is that from the time that Yitzhak is born until the Elim Mitzrayim will be 400 years, and then they won't come back to El Yisrael immediately, but it will take them another 30 years. Ad kiloi shalom oven amoy adhena, until shalom oven amoyri. And comes the Ramban here with an incredible statement. Rabbi Shavel has actually changed the Gilsa, but the proper Gilsa in Ramban is the reason they were in the Midbar for 40 years was because of the Oven HaMori. They had to stay there at least 30 years. Shlo Nishlam, which is an incredible thing. How could Ramban say something like this? And as Rabbi Shemel points out, he actually changes the Gilsa to Lo Mipnei, because, I mean, we all know they were in the 40 years of the Midbar because of the Chet of the Baraklim. They weren't in the 40 years of the Midbar because of the Shalom Avon Amori. But in fact, the Ramban is actually making this claim. And one could, once again, I don't want to go into a pillful, one could say that maybe the Ramban understands that Zendaz Agoyim, that they had to be the 30, had to procrastinate for 30 years, but the other 10 years was because of the Chet of the Baraklim. But in any case, what the Ramban is saying is that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is informing Avraham Avinu that in fact, after they left Mitzrayim, which will be 400 years from the birth of Yitzchak, then in fact, will be another 30 years, right, until we'll be Sholim Ovon HaMoiri. That's the way Ramban learns. Now, in addition to this, Ramban also says, is that, once again, in Peret Pasuk Mem Beis, the Ramban says you can't say that the 400 years from the birth of Yitzchak constitute a golus. In other words, what it means is, they're not going to inherit this land immediately. There will be, in other words, Galen, they'll give like you, right? There'll be a land that is not there, it's 400 years. And then after that, they won't come back until the door reaches 30 years. So, in other words, the Rabban says that what's the Pasuk telling us? Now, what's the Pasuk telling us in Parshas Bo'i? Because in Parshas Bo'i, it says they were in Mitzrayim for 430 years. So according to Rashi, we have to learn that the pshat is simply, is that the golos is 430 years. 430 years is the golos. The Ramban says you can't say the golos is 430 years. The golos is only 210 years. So says the Ramban, Daf Shin Lamed Ches in the Sheval edition, V'yeshir HaKosuf, U'moshe B'nei Yisrael HaSheyosu Mitzrayim, right? The amount of time, the Shira Kazam means, what the Pasuk means when it says they were Mitzrayim 430 years, what does that mean? That means that Umoisha B'nai Yisrael, the settlement of the Jewish people, Asher Yoshu Mitzrayim, Ad Shloishim Shana Vava Mishana, Sheyoshu Sham, in other words, the Jewish people were Mitzrayim until 430 years, they were there in order to be Sham Lamalaslam came by all that's Lelahem. In other words, that Umoshim Nislash Yosef Mitzrayim Shloshim Shalom Abba Mishan doesn't mean the Jewish people were Mitzrayim for 430 years, or that it was a goal for 400 years, but the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim until a period for the birth of Yitzchak of 430 years, in order that there should be a kiyum, there should be a, that should take place historically, the nevuah that they'll be in Be'eretz Loy Lahem. In other words, the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, right? 430 years, meaning they had to be in Mitzrayim for a certain amount of time, and they didn't come back for another 30 years, in order that we should have here a justification, or actually the manifestation, right, of the nevuah of the Blis Ben Apsar. That's where the Ramban is learning. Shir HaKosov, Umeisha B'nei Yisrash Yoshu Mitzrayim, it was until 430 years that they lived in the Eretz Loy Lahem. So, we see here very, very clearly, right? And the Ramban says, Adilah Kosov, Ki Atap Et Seisim, that now the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim, that we have here that this will continue, right? In other words, there's an extra 30 years, and that's what Ramban says. In other words, basically the Pasuk is adding the other 30 years in order that we should know that this is the Hashlama of the Nevuah, this is the reification of the Nevuah that was given to Avraham Avinu. Very interesting. The Ramban, we see that there are very two interesting points in the Ramban, which I think are worth mentioning. The first point is that the Ramban is taking issue with Chazal. The Ramban is clearly arguing with Chazal. And in fact, actually, if we actually take a look at the Gur'ayin, that Gur'ayin in 1 second, let me read to you what the Gur Aryeh says about the Ramban. The Gur Aryeh in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Mem. The Gur Aryeh here explains the Chazal that in fact in Brisbane Psalm was 5 years before Gavino comes out with Yisrael. Okay, and says the Gur Aryeh like this. Herachti begin zeh. I expounded upon this. Bavorim is chakmim al divrei chachamim zal. Those people who think that they're wiser than Chazal. V'nifchachu b'tchukin g'daylin. They enter into very, very difficult interpretations, false interpretations. V'hukshu alein le'mak. He said, "Rabbosar, my son, hey, shamim kodim yitzis b'chon." It's very difficult for them to say that the Bizma Sov was 5 years before Avor Vili Tzcharon. The Dibbe Chazal Hem Anachayin of Aleim Roy Lishvoyer. Dibbe Chazal are correct, and one, it is fitting that one should listen only to them. The Kasher Tadaktik Bahem, and if you, you know, if you learn them carefully, Tibsayim Yusonim or Ad Emet, you will see that they're founded upon the pillars of truth. V'einu Ech Bazeh. And then he goes, but he tamal Ramban, he has a question Ramban, right? How can you say something like this? And finally at the end, he says, but klal uklal ein l'sur b'divrei chazal, one should not, in fact, deviate from the words of chazal, ki ahoyga b'hem toyim tam basar, because one who reflects upon them tastes the basar of meat, v'im l'choynim v'im b'hem sofik l'datik l'mevim divrei chachamim, and they are correct, and there's no sofik, no doubt on what they said, those who really understand the words of chachamim. So the Gur Aryeh explicitly attacks the Ramban for arguing on Chazal. And this, in fact, actually brings up an important question. I mean, why is the Ramban arguing on Chazal? Did Chazal not have a Messiah? I mean, just like the Ramban certainly would not think of arguing on Chazal, on a Halacha, on a Sefer, on a Sefri, on a Gemara, on a Mishnah. Why would Chazal argue on something which is a... It's not just a Medrash. The Ramban is not offering another interpretation. The Ramban is actually arguing on the way Chazal read the Psukim, and of course, this is something that the Ramban, besides arguing Chazal, did he not believe that Chazal had a Messiah, a tradition as to the series of events in the history of Klal Yisrael? This is very, very difficult to understand. That's number one. And that's the first question we have to raise. It's interesting that in addition to the issue of authority, which we have to raise in the issue of the Ramban, we have really a second issue. Because the way the Ramban is learning the Pasuk, right, learning the Psukim, it seems like the Psukim are, I mean, I hate to say this, but look like Lav Dafka. In other words, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, right, Yadoya Teda Kiger Yezrach Be'ezvah Lehem Avlu Vinu Yisrav Abba Me'eshana, right, he doesn't mention the 30 years. And not only that, he says, according to Ramban, the Doravi is a remnant to the 30 years. In other words, according to Chazal, the 430 years is a clear timeline. Because both are speaking about the 400 years for the birth of Yitzchak. And of course, later on in Pasha's Bible, when it says 430 years, it just means that there were 30 years before the birth of Yitzchak from Yisrael and Absalom. So, because Bochu is telling Avraham Avinu what will be 400 years from the birth of Yitzchak, and the Pasuk in Pasha's Bo'im says that the Bnei Yisrael were in Mitzrayim 430 years, it just means is that the sum total of the time of what's called Golos is 430 years. This is what it comes Bochu, says the Avraham Avinu, right? What it really means in a certain sense, the Golos begins with the Bizbal Absalom, with the Pesayim, with the message, with the revelation, the prophecy of Bizbal Absalom brings the Golos. In other words, that is technically what you would say is the strict meaning of the Psoker. Notwithstanding the dates, of course, the dates, because I worked out, but if I learned the Psoker, if I learn the Psukim as literal as possible, then it comes out that we have the Golos begins with the Bliss Ben Absalom. And those are the two parts of Rashi. If I learn the Psukim literally, straightforward, there's a period of 430 years, and from 430 years, as much after that the Jewish people lay, like it says in Pasha's Bo'i, at the end of 430 years, they left Mitzrayim. That was the apparent meaning of the Psukim, the verse of the Chumash is that when they leave Mitzrayim, that ends the period of 430 years. So I'm forced to say the 430 years begins with Pesach Ben-Absalom. And then I'll say that in a certain sense, Moshe Bnei Yisrael means is a concept of Golos, of exile. And the exile in a certain sense begins in a certain sense with the Nevuah of Pesach Ben-Absalom. In other words, that's a little reading of the Psukim. What I have to say, as a consequence, is that the order of events of the Chumash, Bnei Yisrael, and verse of Avinu coming to Eretz Yisrael are not in order. But of course, that's a well-known adage of Chazal, Ein Ruchu Mukdam HaTorah. But Ramban is saying, it's almost like the Pesukim are not to be read, in fact, literally. When it says, Moshe Bnei Yisrael Shuvetz Mitzrayim, Shleishim Shor Bomo Zeshana, it just means that after they left Mitzrayim, it's going to be another 30 years. The 430 years does not speak about when they were in Mitzrayim. The 430 years is speaking about the time it will take until they come back to Eretz Yisrael. That's where the Ramban is learning. So the Psukim, in a certain sense, are not explicitly saying what they mean. But rather, one has to read the Pasuk in a, somehow a non-literal manner, and as the Ramban says, Shir HaKasuv. The Pasuk is giving you the idea of what's going on, but literally speaking, the Pasuk is not speaking about the Jewish people in any sense, mark 430 years when they lived Mitzrayim, but rather, when it says they were Mitzrayim 430 years, what it really means is that the Pesukim are actually referring to the Nevuah of Bizbal Absalom, that they will not come back to Eretz Yisrael until 430 years. And of course, the 30 years is only an illusion, right, which comes Bochu, says to Avraham Avinu, right, until Sholem, Ovoid Hayamoye. That's what the Ramban is saying. So it's interesting is that despite the fact that the Ramban succeeds in reading the Chumash in order, nonetheless, the Psukim are in fact actually alluding to things more than they are telling us things explicitly. In other words, the Ramban is offering what I would call an implicit reading of the Psukim as opposed to an explicit reading of them. Now, which also raises a question. The first question that we raised is, what gave the Ramban the authority to argue on Chazal? And the second question is, what gave the Ramban the authority to learn to read the Psukim implicitly and not explicitly? That's the question that I really want to ask. Regarding the first question, now once again, I'm not the first person to have asked this question. The Goraya actually attacks the Ramban. Rav Dessler, I've never seen Rav Dessler, I don't remember where it's in Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler says that the Ramban was speaking to Nebuchim. I don't know what he means by that, but What I think he means by that is that the Ramban really didn't really mean to say what he... but the Ramban really felt that this is not really the true pshat, but for people who were bothered by Chazal's reading of the Chumash implying it's not in order, the Ramban felt he had to offer a different interpretation. That's for Nevuch. In other words, for people who are confused, I'm allowed to say not the whole truth, but half the truth. In fact, actually, this is something which is the Desla is not the only person who actually attributes this expression of half truth to the Ramban, or, you know, not who they accuses, but claims the Ramban is actually speaking sometimes in half truths and not full truths. You all know that there's a famous debate, the Vikuach, between the Ramban and the person who was an apostate. And there was a debate over the Christian religion, Christianity. And when the apostate presents to the Ramban a medrash, which implies the Mashiach is alive at that time, in which he wants to somehow use this as a basis for actually justifying or proving that Oysa Yish was in fact actually the Mashiach. So Ramban replies to him and says that we're not... The Midrashim don't exert authority. In other words, we're not forced to listen to Midrashim. In other words, we can choose whether to listen to that. In other words, we all accept the authority of the Chumash, we accept the authority of the oral, the halachic oral law, right? The Mishnayos, the Gemara. But Midrashim, we're not forced to accept, to listen to Midrashim. And it's an incredible thing. I mean, we're not forced to listen to Midrashim. So I saw in the Sefer Emes Yankov, Yankov Kamenetsky, he wants to say that the Rambam was always saying this to the apostle. He really didn't mean this. To which I say, Chas v'shalom. Pekoydish, Yidaber. Pekoydish, that the Rambam is going to say something which is not true, something which he doesn't believe in, something which is only half true. I find that hard to believe. And I don't want to go into it, but actually, the fact is that the Rambam here is not unique, but actually has company with other Rishonim, who, in contradiction to the Achronim, did not attribute a full authority to the nature of the Midrash. I don't want to go into that right now, but in my opinion is, when the Ramban says something, right, I think that we have to really assume that what he says is what he meant and what he felt to be the emes. So, this comes back to the Kuda, which I want to raise again. Why did the Ramban feel like with Chazal? So, I want to offer, in fact, two answers for this. Answer number one is, we have a Yisoid in the Gemara. The Gemara says in the Yavama stuff, the Vayin Zayin, the Rambam brings it in this Hatot, the Parashat Mishnayos. If Chazal are coming to us and telling us something, and they're saying this on the base of Masoida, in Kabbalah and the Kaaba, but if Chazal are bringing the proof, so we can say, Ladin Yesh Lahashiv. Namely, that we see in the Seder in the Rabbah, that Chazal are saying what they're saying because of the difficulty of the 30 years. Since the 30 years seems, according to Chazal, to have taken place 30 years, the Bismarck seems to have taken place 30 years before the birth of Yitzchak. And for Seder, the people went back to Haran. Went back to Haran and came back to Israel again. That was Chazal are saying what they're saying, not on the basis of a Messiah, but based upon a reading of the Psukim and their account. They're cheshbon. So, if Chazal are bringing a proof from the Psukim, the Ramban could say, in Kabbalah Nekava. But what? In Ladin Yesh Lahashiv. You were coming to me with a guy from the Chumash because you read the Chumash in a particular way and the accounting doesn't work out right. And this is the reason you're saying what you're saying. So I can claim I have a better way of reading the Chumash, a better way of interpreting the Chumash. That's what I would say the Ramban is saying. Of course, this is true, but like I said before, in other words, it does answer the question in the sense that Chazal are making arguments and not claiming a tradition, but where did the Ramban feel they had the authority to argue on Chazal's arguments? And surely the Ramban would not argue on Sifron, the Zafri, and the Midrashi Halacha. Where did the Ramban feel like this? So I want to claim that the basis, and of course I want to also raise a second question, which I think I'm going to answer it in the same day, The second claim is, and the second question we raised is, what allowed the Ramban to make this implicit reading of the Chumash as opposed to an explicit reading of the Chumash? So I want to go back to what the Ramban writes in his Hakdama, which is actually where we began the Shia. The Ramban says that the Torah is before the world. And the Ramban says, Moshe Rabbeinu, we're in Daf Beis in the Shemel's edition, two lines from the Moshe Rabbeinu's Kosef HaMatik B'Sef HaKadmi, the Kosef. What's the Ramban doing? The Ramban is positing a text before the Torah. It's perhaps the Eish Levana Al Eish Chayra. Just like, for example, the Rosh in Daf Lamed Gimel in Sanhedrin was to claim, was to show that the Rishonim can argue on the Gaonim, because in fact the only canon is the text of the Gemara. So as long as just like the Gaonim are also beholden to the Gemara. So in other words, therefore the Rosh posits a canonical text which is the supreme authority, in which case the Rishon can argue on the Goyim because he will appeal to the canonical authority of the text of the Gemara. So too, the Ramban wants to say is that in fact there is a Torah shekodma lebriyas ha'olam. Moshe Rabbeinu is being matik from this Torah hakaduma, and so in fact a reading, an explicit reading of the Chumash, even by Chazal, somehow has to be subject to the canonical text. And the true canonical text is not necessarily the Chumash that we have, but this Torah HaKaduma, which means that number one, if in fact the Ramban is going back to this Torah HaKaduma, there can be number one an implicit reading of the psukim, and the fact is that I can appeal to this higher text, which Chazal are not clearly not appealing to, right? And the basis of this, I can assert at least also my authority as a commentator who will take issue with the interpretation of Chazal. In other words, when the Ramban speaks about the Torah HaKaduma, Sefer Kadmai, what I'm calling the Eish Levana on Eish Chayra, what Ramban is positing is a Ur text, a canonical authority, which Moshe Rabbeinu is only being matic from that text, meaning number one, I don't have to read the Psukim explicitly, I can read them implicitly, because explicit reading is of the Sefer HaKadmai, just like we saw that Moshe Rabbeinu imparts the Messiah from the names, the letters which are names of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to the Torah, which we understand in terms of nouns and pronouns and sentences. We spoke about that. So too, the Ramban is positing a prior text, a Sefer Kadmon. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he writes the Sefer Torah, is being marked from the Sefer Kadmon. The Ramban is saying is, if you look at the Sefer Kadmon, you'll see it's saying what I'm saying, even though the Torah, which we have, doesn't explicitly say that. It's implicitly saying that, because the Torah that we have is referring to this Sefer Kadmai. What the Ramban has, in fact, very much so, invoked a text of authority to which he can, in a certain sense, invoked an authority which, by interpreting it, he becomes the Baal Plukta, the one who can contend with the interpretation of Chazal. That's what I want to claim is what the Ramban uses when he says, Kesefa Matik Misefa Kadmai. Now, this concept of implicit reading of the Chumash as opposed to swimming in the Chumash is actually a theme in the Ramban. It's not only in this Ramban, it's actually in other Rambans. There's a very famous tshuva of the Rashba in Chelek Aleph, in Siman Yud Beis, and there the Rashba says explicitly that the Torah is written sometimes Shaloi Meduktak. In other words, the Torah writes something is not Meduktak, Lav Davka. and people are going to shrug and say, Chas v'sham, how can you say this? I saw in the Sefer, in Abdamit, in the Sefer Mitzvah, Chaim Heller wants to claim that the Rashba is a forgery. In fact, Rashba, when he does the tshuva, he just quotes several Rambans, one in Bamidba, one in Dvorim, and where the Rambans is, and sometimes the Torah, right, will actually use the name of a place, or a part, right, and use it locked off. In other words, not exactly the name, because once again, the Torah is being netak from a Sefer Kadma, in which case the Pesukim of the Torah, in fact, can be understood implicitly. We're appealing to the Or text, the prior text, which Kadma La'olam, which is the true text of the Chumash. So we see clearly that this concept that we saw last time in the third shir, where the Ramban can appeal to the letters of the Chumash in names of God, which is the pretext to the Chumash, which we have and which read in sentences, and the Chumash which is intelligible to us in grammar, in syntax, and semantics, but one can appeal to the bottom level, what I call the immanental textuality of the Torah. So too, the Ramban is actually using the same methodology, but here he's not speaking about an immanence to the text, but he's speaking about two texts, a text of the Chumash, which we have, and a pretext of the Chumash, of which our Chumash is a hard talker. The Sefer HaMatik, the Sefer HaNema, is Moshe Rabbeinu, and of course, all of this, says the Ramban, is really Mipiv Shel HaKadosh Baruch. So, we see, once again to repeat, is that in the Hakdama of the Ramban actually motivates, actually the Ramban, in fact, architects his scheme of reading the Chumash by the construction of either levels of the text or the construction of a series of texts, of several texts. And this, the Ramban, by doing so, architects his vast and deep and central commentary on the Chumash, which in a certain sense constitutes the Mesela and the Emunah of the Jewish people, as we understand Klal Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and in fact all of reality from the text of the Chumash. The text of the Chumash becomes the means by which we can, in fact, actually base our concept of history and our concept of reality, based right from the text of the Chumash, which is composed of course these different layers or of different texts. So this is an important point which comes out from the Hakdama of the Ramban. In Yitzhak Hashem, this is the fourth of the Shuram. In Yitzhak Hashem, we're actually going to expand upon this in the next and the fifth Shia, and we're going to take it actually a step deeper. But until that time, for an undisclosed space in Yerushalayim, everybody a kol tov.